Heyo. I thought I'd just embrace it. It's going. What do I do? My daughter, we have had a wedding photo on our bedroom wall. And my youngest daughter, Erin, who's four, for those that don't know, she looked at it and she goes, "That's mummy, but who's she with?" "That's me." She goes, "No, he's got hair." So, yeah. Anyway. Thanks, AJ. I get a coffee. It's awesome, isn't it? We'll get to that. Cool. How much time have I got? 20 minutes. Right. I actually thought I had 15 minutes. I was thinking about this. I thought 15 minutes, ballpark. What can you do in 15 minutes? And this is how my mind thinks. So I thought, 15 minutes. Well, you could walk about 1.5 kilometres. You can swim. I did work this out. You can swim about 800 metres for the average slack swimmer like me. You can do quite a lot of things. You could actually eat a meal. And then I worked out you could be Jamie Oliver and you could cook an amazing banquet. Yeah. Actually, I had a photo of one, but I don't know if they're up there or not. But Jamie Oliver meal. No, guess not. Cool. Alrighty. And I've got a little note here saying stay focused. So there you go. Let's pray. It's going to be one of those nights. Father, I commit tonight to you. And I ask that, you know, we're going to have fun. And we always do. And that's just our kind of church. And you're a fun God. And that's pretty awesome too. But Father, I do pray that despite all the fun and all the seriousness and all my bumbling words, that there's instruction coming from you and there's conviction coming from you tonight, that this isn't a wasted night where we've just made a bad decision to, you know, come here and we could have spent it with family or done 1,000 other good things, but that we're in your house tonight. And Father, we want that. We know that's a good decision, that we will actually encounter you tonight. So Father, we commit that to you, and I ask that everyone would leave here with something tonight, some touch from you that will change their lives, Father. Amen. Hey, all right, I have a Bible verse because I'm going to dump that down there because it's just in my way. Yep. Thanks. It's my exercise. I have a Bible verse, John 10:10. It says this, I have come that they, that's you and me, may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And in the Amplified, I just like the Amplified, it says, I came that they, you and me, may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And so, amazing verse, isn't it? Jesus came, it's not just that we have life, but we have it abundantly. And, you know, there's people, I reckon day to day, we see people who are alive, but they're not actually living. They're just going through the motions. You know, wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, kiss your wife, have breakfast, brush your teeth again, go to work, come home, have a meal, brush your teeth, go to bed, wake up the next day, do the same again, and routine, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you might have really good teeth after all that brushing. But, you know, there's got to be more to life than just going through those motions. And then I started thinking about this. And where I'm going with this is Jordan and I were kind of thinking about what we could do, like a two-parter. And so we just came up with this title, Living for God. Well, I came up with it, and Jordan goes, sounds good. And so, living for God. and so then I started thinking, well, church life. I've been in church a long time. I've been a Christian. Well, I've been brought up in church. So 1971 I was born, and I got christened that year by, many of you will know him, Pastor Neville Johnson. So those of you old school in Shiloh will know who he is. He christened me, prophesied over me. I actually have that prophecy written down, so there you go. Still hasn't come to pass. But anyway. But it was about end time, so that might fit in with what's coming up, yeah. Yeah, and I've been in church a long time, and I've seen a lot of stuff happen in churches. And one of the things I've actually thought about is this. I've seen a lot of people in church who appear to be living and actually aren't alive. They're spiritually dead, but they're just putting on the act. And they're just not alive. And I'm not saying it's trying to convict people. I'm actually saying that because I've done it as well. I've been at points in my life where I have just gone through the motions and I am dead inside and I'm just going to do it. And it's a bad place to be. And so it got me thinking, what do we need to actually be alive? You know, before we can actually be living, we need to be alive. And, you know, spiritually, we'll get to that. But then I started thinking, you know, shout out ideas. What are the basics to be alive? What do you need to survive in life? Food? Food's a good one. Yep. Coffee. Breathing, air, yep. Love. Oh, I like that one. All you need is love. Sorry. Water. Honest. It's a very deep front row, isn't it? Yep. I went online. I went to Wikipedia. These are all good things. Wikipedia, source of all knowledge and truth. So, survival. I went to survival basics or something like that. And there's a whole list of things there. But basically, the top four are air, water, food, shelter that you need in your survival. And there's other things. There's physiological needs. You actually need companionship and all of that, blah, 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 all soppy stuff. But anyway, yeah. And there's the survival. I am getting to a point with this. Yeah. There's the survival rule of three, which I kind of didn't know about. It's this. You can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 hours without shelter in a harsh environment, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. So that kind of determines your priorities depending on environment. Isn't that cool? There we go. Learned something. Nothing about the Bible, but we've learned something. So then I got to thinking, well, let's translate that into spiritual things. What do we need to spiritually be alive? And so my whole point tonight is actually, my title was Spiritually Alive. I'm guessing we have no slides at all. So yeah, that's all good. I can run with that. So I'm just going through four things. And I've got the whole analogy happening. Air, water, food, shelter. Yeah, yeah. It takes a lot of planning to do that, you know. So, so here we go. So going through, number one thing we need to be spiritually alive is prayer. And prayer equates to air. It actually equates to breathing. It's the thing we need to breathe the most. It's something that we consistently need to do. God said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And prayer is really about communicating with God. It's our communication line. We constantly need to be in touch with God. Air oxygenates our blood. So our blood can then do its job of taking our nutrients around our body, and our body can then function. If we stop breathing, if we don't have that air going in or oxygenating, then our body will actually stop doing what it's meant to do. Our heart will actually just stop. You take prayer away from your life, from your spiritual life, same thing, your heart will actually stop. Your heart stops beating. But you get what I mean, your heart for God actually stops. You'll soon be doing things for the wrong reason. And as I said, I've done this in churches. I've stopped the prayer thing and my heart's just gone wrong. You start getting annoyed at things. You find yourself getting disillusioned. I reckon the number one key to hearing when it's going wrong for you is you start complaining. You actually hear yourself complaining about things in church and around you. And it's because that communication line's gone with God. And your eyes start doing this, they go down. And they're great warning signs that something is wrong. My volunteer, AJ, buddy, come here. Just to make a point, AJ's a pretty fit person. You don't agree? This man runs stupid distances. He just runs the church from his home just for fun. Can you do, yeah. AJ, I need you to do something for me. I just want to see how long you can do this. Can you just run up and down these steps, do the whole up, down, but hold your breath. As fast as you can, buddy. Where you go. Go. You're holding your breath? No cheating, buddy. It's doing pretty well. Nah, so I hope someone's counting. I just want to see if he drops dead or he breathes. There we go. Thanks, AJ. You're right. Oh, anyway. That was just for fun. So my lesson is either we breathe or we drop dead. And look, I'm telling you, with your life as a Christian, you're either going to breathe, you're either going to pray, or you're going to be dead. It's actually that simple. One of them's going to have to give. Yeah? So prayer is like our breath. We need to breathe. We need to do it continually. And the Bible says pray without ceasing. In other words, never stop praying. And don't do that in a weird way. Don't scare people. It's like, yeah, hi, my name's Shane, and, good to meet you. I want to pray for you, Jesus' name. That's kind of weird, all right? Yeah. I don't mean that. I mean just keeping the communication lines going. I mean, turn to the person next to you and just say, look, you're already weird enough. Don't freak people out. Yeah. What I mean is we just keep that line open to God. Enoch did it in the Bible. The Bible says that he just walked with God and continually spoke to him. But read it, he actually had a family as well. I mean, because the whole line comes through him. So he managed to have time to get married, to have kids, raise them. He had to work to support them, all of that. But God says he walked with them all his days, continually just walked and prayed. We can do it. It's just a way to live life. Number two, racing through this. Second thing is worship. And we need to worship in our lives. And worship's actually like water. It's a refreshment. It's something that we need to do. It refreshes us. And when we're in God's presence, wasn't that just cool tonight? It's a place to let everything go, really, and just that refreshment. And it's not just about singing, although that's probably one of the most awesome ways to worship. But it's not just about singing and doing songs. To me, it's actually about priorities. It's saying, God, you are the number one person in my life. You're the number one thing. It's saying, you are number one in my marriage. You're number one in my work. You're number one in my finances. You're number one with my children. Number one in my attitudes. You're number one in my thoughts. That one kills. Because there's a lot of thoughts that will come in. And just trying to discipline yourself to keep that. God is number one. Acts 3:19 says this. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Part of worship is actually repentance as well. Yes, I could just leave it with that. refreshment. Yeah, part of refreshment is actually repentance. Repentance is just acknowledging that God is number one and he hasn't been, really, at the end of the day. And it's worship. It's saying, God, man, I've missed my priorities. You should be number one. I've got another demonstration. Volunteer. Zoe. She had a little hand go up. Zoe, you've got a longer task than AJ. Yep. I need you. You probably need to do it on the side for a bit. Because I'm going to wear Zoe up. You can just do this. Just start doing this. Or you can just do two steps if you want. Or one. Just keep going. We'll talk. All right. Just ignore Zoe. So the word refresh, that verse, so Acts 3:19 says, sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The word refresh there is actually a Greek word, and it comes from a word that actually means relief from the heat. Yep, it's a Greek word that means that. And getting in the presence of God is a relief from the heat of life. If you're getting stressed about things, you're going to burn out. It's that heat thing. It's burning inside you. And what you need is a relief from that heat. And once you get in God's presence, perspective changes, doesn't it? I love the Presence Conference because, how you going, Zoe? Good. So Presence Conference was great. You go in there with all the stress and you just came out. I remember just standing worshiping going, the things I'm stressed about, they really don't matter. They're not that big at the end of the day. We need to get our priorities right. How you going? You up for something else? Can you sprint to that wall, then to that wall four times? Go. As fast as you can. Yeah, that'll do. Yep. Over there. There's a point to this, Faster. Come on, you can do it. That's two. We'll get up to three. Four. Faster. I'm so cruel. And then sprint back here. Here's my point. Zoe, I have two things here, a cup of coffee, and this is coffee, have a smell. Yeah, or a bottle of water. What would you prefer at this point? You can sit down, thank you. You can take the water too. Yeah. My point is this, when we get worn out, it's water we need. And while I can say this, I know that we need worship, But sometimes, at least I am so dumb about things. I will start getting stressed about life. And the one thing I don't do is actually get in God's presence. I will fill my life with just about everything else when the one thing I actually need is God's presence. And quite often those things you fill your life with are just as stressful. You find activities outside of work that actually stress you up even more. And sometimes we actually need just to make that time to hang with God. And I've got to know here, make a decision today to regularly spend time just hanging with God. Just sitting there, hanging with Him. Yeah. Number three. Third thing, Bible. It's like food. You need to eat it. So, where's my Bible? Oh, it's down there somewhere. Bible. I've got one on here. I'll eat it. Oh, here we go. That's why I've got this. I knew I had this reason. Yeah. Apple. This is an apple. It looks good. It smells good. It really does, actually. now, we could use an apple for a lot of things. We could juggle. That's kind of boring. We could throw it as a ball. We could use it as a paperweight. I don't know. Probably make a demonstration, 101 uses for an apple. But look, it's kind of useless as food until we get it inside us. Does it make sense? Yeah. Bible, it's useless until we get it inside us. We need that food inside us for our body to actually be functioning. And here's the thing. We don't just open up our stomach and put it in, you know, chuck it in and, you know, it all works. We tend to actually chew food, don't we? First of all, we chew it, you know, and reading the Bible's like that. We read it, we chew it, we get flavors out of it. There's different flavors depending on what you're reading. And sometimes you're mixing those flavors up as well. And sometimes they just taste terrible. Honestly, you read your Bible and think, oh, got to change the way I live life or something like that. Sometimes it tastes great. And then we've got to digest it. It goes down and it sits in there and it's digesting. And, you know, the Bible's like that. The words get in there and you think about them. And, you know, I've survived on verses for months. One verse has just spoken to me and changed my life for months. And so we need to run with that as well. It sustains us. It gives us energy. The word, when it's in us, will actually give us a basis for our decision making. And give us a basis to respond to situations in life. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, this amazes me. Here's the Son of God, and there's the devil going, you know, you can turn these stones into bread, whatever. He could just rebuke the devil and say, get away from me. It's the Son of God. I mean, for goodness sake, he could have actually done a number of things at that point. He did this one thing that we can all do. He just said, it is written. He referred back to what was written in God's word. And that's what we need to live our lives with. It is written, you know. If your finances are under pressure, you know, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs. You know, if we're feeling sick, it is written, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Work is not going away. You know, it is written, the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands. You know, your marriage is under fire. It is written. You know, your family life's under fire. It is written. Get these Bible verses in us. You're stressed about our future. You know, it is written. I know the plans I have for you. There's a desire in your heart, you know, that you want from God. It is written. Ask and you shall receive. It is written. And so that's our response when that word is sitting inside us, God's word. You know, it is written. Excited. This guy's really good, isn't he? Yeah, he is. We should encourage him. Right. Self-encouragement's going great. We need the Bible in us. That's it. Number four, because we're pushed for time, so I'll get on with this. Number four, church. Yeah, that's the big one. Church is like our shelter. It's our shelter. This is God's house on earth. And I know God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But the church is where you can actually see God revealed. This is where you should see God in action, where you see God in all His glory and everything that happens. And we can find out who God is. It's one thing to meet God. It's actually another thing to get to know Him. And that's a lot of what the church does both. But a lot of it is actually about getting to know God, hanging in His presence. What a great opportunity we have here. And you know, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. That's right. This is where we get a glimpse of heaven as well. This is God's house. And, you know, God's coming back for a perfect church. was coming back for, anyway, powerful church. He's not coming back for a weakened sip of the church. The whole history, looking forward, is not for a church that's getting weaker. It's actually getting stronger. We are getting closer to what heaven is like all the time. There's also a proverb that says this: there is wisdom in many counselors. And being around like-minded people helps. You know, being around other Christians is great when you come under pressure. Shelter from harsh environments. Everything produces after its own kind. You know, you plant an apple, plant apple seeds, you're not going to get an orange tree. Yeah, right? Figures, you know, you get two ducks doing the business, you know, they're not going to produce an elephant. They're going to produce another duck. Yeah. The kids are out, right? Good. So everything produced after its own kind. Here's the deal. Hang around other Christians, you're going to be producing good things in your life. If you're not in the church and you're hanging around with people who are going to be pulling you down, you're going to end up like that. You're going to end up by the people you hang around. Not saying you shouldn't distance yourself from them, but the people who are inputting into your life should be a good influence on you, not a bad influence. And don't ever trick yourself. I'll say this to young people. Don't ever think that you're going to be pulling them up. Yep. I'm going to hang around people who aren't Christians most of my time. It's good to have that friendships, no doubt. But you need those really good, strong friendships that will actually help you as well. Because if you're just around people who are constantly pulling you down, they will pull you down. You will not pull them up. Yep. So, a lot of experience in that. Yeah. I've got another thing. Even Jesus, I've said this before, but even Jesus, you'd think he'd be the one person that didn't actually need to be in church, that could go out and didn't need to be in church. But I found this verse, Luke 4:16. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus' custom while he was here on earth was to go into the synagogue. And that's where he got up and he read the scriptures out. Make a decision that you're going to be in church as well. And decide now. Decide that next week you're going to be in church. Decide that the week after you're going to be in church. And the week after that you're going to be in church. And the week after that you're going to be in church. And 1 year from now you're going to be in church. Yeah? Yeah, cool. So where are you going to be in 23 years from now on a Sunday? In church. Yeah. Make the decision now. Makes it easier later. That's all. Cool. So that's it. So look, four things and briefly, that we need in our lives as Christians just to be alive. And I'm not even talking about living a Christian life. I'm just talking about survival, being alive, having life, spiritual life. We need prayer. We need that communication line with God. We need worship, just that chance to hang in his presence and just to be with him, that time of refreshing. We need the Bible, that food that goes in us. We digest it. It's like a guide for life, and we sit there. And we need the church. We actually need to be locked into a church because it protects us from those harsh environments that we come around. So I hope those four points helped you. Let's stand up as we close. Yeah. So let's close our eyes. The music team comes up. Yeah. Oh, thank you. They're encouraging you now. I know, it's great. So, don't have to talk to yourself anymore. Sorry. Let's close our eyes. Hey, look, just as we take a few minutes in God's presence, here's the thing about life. I was talking about being alive, but it needs a kickstart. You know, when babies come out, I've seen this. I've had two daughters born, it wasn't pretty. Those cesareans too, and still wasn't pretty. But when babies are born, the doctor gives them a little whack, you know, and basically to get them breathing. They just need a stimulus to get them going. And it's like turning on a computer too. I always think you actually need to turn a computer on before you can use it. And it's like that with our walk with God as well. And so as our eyes are closed, this is the question I want to ask. If you haven't had that connection with God already, if you are someone who's not been connected with God, I just want to give you this opportunity. And the second part of this is too, is anyone where you think, like the computer, it's been turned on in the past, but somehow it's been turned off. You found that life gone from you, either because you've lost that connection with God or something else, but something stopped you being alive. You're living the life, but you're actually not alive on the inside. If you're in either of those categories, just give me a little wave, because be a great night just to pray with you. Cool. That's good then. Second thing, it's just for everyone else. What I want to do now is just the opportunity, because we're in church, and this is a great opportunity on Friday nights, is just to spend this time hanging in God's presence. And you don't have to. What I want to say is this. I just want to leave it open as these guys sing a song and just play in the background, is just to say, if you're someone who needs, there's something in your life, you just need to hang in God's presence. If there's stress, there's something burning you out, and you think, you know what, I need to just spend that time with God, this is the time for you. Last story, Joshua. Joshua and Caleb came out of the, they were with Moses and the Israelites going through Egypt, and they went to the promised land, came back, they had the good report. They both knew God. They both could see the vision of God. But Joshua knew to linger. You know, he used to go with Moses into the tent, into the presence of God. Moses would leave. Joshua would hang in God's presence. And because of that, he actually got to know the ways of God and got to lead Israel. And so I just want to say that you may be facing situations tonight or simply just wanting to seek God about something where you need to take that time. Don't ever rob yourself from lingering in God's presence. It is a really important thing. So I'm just going to close with that tonight. And if you don't want to stay, that's fine. If you can quietly go out to the cafe, that's awesome. If you just want to hang here just for, you know, 5 minutes in God's presence, that'll be awesome.